I'm joined on the phone today by pediatrician Dr. Colleen Swank, who's also the VP of clinics. Is that right, Dr. Swank?
That's correct. Thank you.
And we are talking about the COVID-19 vaccine. I know a lot of folks are really anxious to get this vaccine. It's perceived as the way back to normal. My dad would say, you know, over the course of human history, contagious and pandemic diseases were the normal. So this past century was really the abnormal one.
I guess that's one way to look at it.
Right. But I know a lot of folks are getting ready to do the vaccine. But we see in the news a lot of the times that, you know, like places like Florida are giving people like snowbirds and stuff vaccines. And you were saying just before we started recording that it's really up to the state health departments on when we move from priority groups, right?
That is correct. The federal government is helping to decide the allotment that goes to each state, but each state decides where the allotment goes and what order that we are giving vaccine. Most states seem to be following the CDC guidelines, though, and that's easy to look up.
So where is Sanford Bemidji at in its vaccination? Like, what group are you guys working on right now?
We are still on 1A, which is healthcare workers, and also residents of long-term care facilities, and then obviously the people that take care of the residents in long-term care facilities.
Now, the 1A group is in three different tiers, as I understand, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And so once we move to 1B, that would be like folks of a certain age and people with certain comorbidities?
Correct. So according to the CDC website, and I'm not positive yet what MDH has decided, but it looks like those 75 and older are the age group. And then it has to do with your age and whether you have a comorbidity is the next kind of tier. And then whether you have a comorbidity at all. So you could be 25 with, say, diabetes, and you would be in that tier group.
So after that 1B and it moves on to like more of the general public, or is it like still prioritized, like teachers and stuff like that will be prioritized over the general public?
There is a category in there that's called essential workers. And I am not sure what Minnesota is clarifying as an essential worker. But yes, there will be a category there. In one of the tiers that are essential workers, I would assume that teachers would be considered in that category.
So as far as the vaccinations so far have gone here at Sanford Bemidji, have you noticed a lot of reluctance to get the vaccine or receive the vaccine?
So we really have not, but then you've got to remember the people that we're vaccinating are healthcare workers. And so they are privy to a lot of the information as well as they've had a front row seat for the effects of getting the natural disease.
And I'm sure as a pediatrician, you have encountered many an anti-vaxxer in the past. Do you anticipate some reluctance by the general public to get vaccinated once it's their turn?
Unfortunately, I do. I probably read some of the same sites that you do. And so I see some of the misinformation that's out there. And so one of the things that I see is that the vaccine can change your DNA, and that is certainly not true. The way that the two vaccines that are out right now, the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine, the way they work is by injecting, for lack of a better word, a blueprint that goes into your cell, and then your cell makes a protein. The protein looks just like the top of the coronavirus, the spiky part of the coronavirus virus. And that spiky part then causes your body to release defense against that spiky part. So the spiky part that your cells make don't cause you to have any symptoms of coronavirus, but it causes your body to basically think that it's coronavirus, and it makes antibodies. And so then the next time when you do come in contact with the real coronavirus, your body has recognized it and then attacks it. But when it goes into your cell to make this protein, your cell has a nucleus and a cytoplasm, if you can remember from science. And the DNA is in the cytoplasm. Nothing in this vaccine gets into your cytoplasm or anywhere near your DNA. So there's no possible way for this to change your DNA. And so when you're reading about changes to your DNA, that's just scientifically not true.
Right. I'm no doctor, so forgive me if this sounds kind of simple, but, you know, in the past, I've understood somewhat that some vaccines were made by, like, dead bits of virus. Is this vaccine a little different? Is it a newer methodology to creating this COVID vaccine?
It is a different methodology, and so there are no vaccine parts in this in the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine. Instead, it's called mRNA, and what it does is, again, is a blueprint so that your cell can make a protein. Some vaccines inject protein into the body, but this doesn't inject the protein. This injects the blueprint so that your body can actually make the protein.
All right. And as I understand, Sanford Bemidji has largely been using the Pfizer vaccine. Is that going to continue, or do you anticipate receiving some of the Moderna as well?
Right now, I think that the state will mostly allot us the Pfizer vaccine, and that's because we do have the super cold refrigerators that allow us to keep the vaccine stable until it's needed to be used, where some other parts of the state don't have access to that refrigerator, and the Moderna vaccine does not need the special refrigerator. And so they'll save that vaccine for the parts of the state that that don't have the ability to store the Pfizer vaccine.
Right. And is there any noticeable difference beyond the need to refrigerate between the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine? Or do they operate like the same way with that blueprint?
Yeah, they're both mRNA vaccines, so the way that they work is exactly the same. The only other difference is that, so both require two vaccines to be given for you to be fully immune or for it to be fully effective. And the Pfizer vaccine is 21 days apart, and the Moderna vaccine needs to be given 28 days apart. Now, again, that doesn't have to be exactly 21 or exactly 28. It can't be less than 21 for the Pfizer vaccine, and it can't be less than 28 days for the Moderna vaccine.
Right. So there, you can't really rush the, like, just do two shots in the arm right away and then call yourself good. You take some time. Why is that?
So the first vaccine sort of primes the pump, and so it gets your immune system really ready to see it. And then the second vaccine makes your body say, oh, that wasn't a fluke. There's still possibility of some of this being around, and it makes your body create more of those memory cells so that your immunity lasts longer and is more complete, so that when you do run into the actual virus, your body says, hey, this is an intruder. We've seen it before. Let's get it before you actually then develop symptoms.
And I suppose it's a little too early to tell just how long the vaccine will provide immunity. Is that right? Like, there has been some speculation that it might become a yearly shot like our flu shots.
It is too early to tell. And that's just because, as you said, you know, one of the things that are making people nervous about getting the vaccine, the anti-vaxxer type people, is that they say that this vaccine was pushed out too quickly. And it really wasn't pushed out too quickly as far as from a safety standpoint. But under a normal circumstance, when we weren't in a pandemic, the FDA would likely make the companies and the researchers know some of these answers before we started putting shots in the arm. So you can think of, you know, back in the 90s when the chickenpox vaccine came out, they knew some of the answers. They knew how long it should last and whether you would need a booster and some of those things. Because we didn't have the luxury of time, we're going to be learning this as we go.
Right, right. And is there anything else about vaccines and good information for people who want to find out more about these?
Yeah, I mean, I think the CDC really does have a great website and talks really a lot about the two vaccines that are out currently. It may talk a little bit about the ones that are in production that haven't been released as well. Certainly, you can go on the Sanford website as well. We have lots of information about the vaccine and what we're seeing. I think another thing for people to know is, you know, the side effects of the vaccine. So we have given it Sanford-wide to thousands now. And really the main side effects that we are seeing is soreness at the arm. And at the second vaccine, some people are getting a mild fever that lasts, it seems like 12 hours, maybe a little bit longer, but really no other major side effects. We did have, I think we've had two people, again, Sanford-wide, not in Bemidji, that had a reaction to the vaccine, but they were people that had reactions to other vaccines as well. And so so we knew to watch for them and to monitor them a little bit more closely.
So if once we do get the vaccine and we notice a side effect more severe than maybe a light fever or a soreness at the injection site, is there a place where we should report these things?
Yes, and when you get the vaccine, you'll get a handout that will tell you where to report it and who to call, what things to watch for. There also has been, we have the Pfizer vaccine here, through them and the CDC, you can click onto something on your phone, and they will send daily reminders to you. It's called V-Safe, and they will send daily reminders to you to ask you how you're feeling and if you're having any side effects or any concerns. And so that's really, really nice because it will offer us the ability to track side effects and to keep people updated. The more people that get the vaccine will obviously know more information. I think the only last thing that I would like to say is that we really do feel that the vaccine is safe. I got my second vaccine on Monday. I see patients still, so that's why I was in the 1A group. And we really do feel that it is the way, as you mentioned at the outset, our way out of this and our way to be able to travel and have group gatherings and do all the things that we've been missing out.
Right on. Well, thanks again. Is there anything else?
I don't think so. I guess the only other thing that I would remind people is that because we feel very comfortable with the two injections, that you have a high likelihood of not getting the virus. The thing we don't know is if vaccinated people can still carry the virus in their nose and potentially spread it to other people. So when you come onto our campus, even though the majority of people that you are going to run into have been vaccinated, we still will be wearing our masks. And that's
right,
because we just don't have all the information yet. And we'll still be doing all the other things that we've been recommending that people do. So right now, the vaccine doesn't give us the ability to just do whatever we want.
Right.
Until we know a little bit more information and until we can get, 70-80% of people vaccinated.
Right, and there are some people, of course, that will not be able to get vaccinated due to immunocompromised. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And so we still need to protect those people as well, and they need to protect themselves.
Right. Well, fantastic. Well, thanks so much. It's been an illuminating discussion on COVID and the vaccine that we're all waiting for. So thanks again.
You're welcome. And we will keep you updated as to when we go through the tiers and what the priority plans are. And I just want your listeners to know to not worry that there will be enough vaccine for everyone, and we will make sure to let them know when it is their time to get it.
And those sort of messages will be sent out by MyChart and other means?
Yeah, so it'll be MyChart. We'll probably do come on to this program as well and go through the radio, the television. Through public health will also be getting vaccine, and so they'll send out their communication as well. I think people will be inundated with communication.
All right, great. Well, thanks again, Dr. Swink. We'll catch you next time.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.